Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I wanted to give you a couple phrases here for the first four meetings. We've enjoyed four sessions together in the evening. And I would summarize sessions one and three. So Brother Craig shared session one on the meal offering in Leviticus. And I shared last night session three on the meal offering as seen in the four Gospels, right? The humanity of Jesus in the four Gospels. So I would say that in message one and three, we could use this phrase that you've been enjoying. Behold the man!
Amen.
Behold the man!
Amen.
Both in Leviticus 2 and in the four Gospels, what we see is we see this wonderful God-man.
Amen.
You could even say, behold the meal offering. Behold the meal offering. This man is the meal offering, right? So we need to behold him. We need to see him. I hope when you read the Bible from now on, the Bible would be a different book to you. As you read the Bible, look for the man. Look for the meal offering. Tonight, we will share with you more sections of the Word of the New Testament that show us the meal offering. But as you read the Word, just enjoy this man. Right? As you read the Gospels again, I hope they would never be the same. As you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would see fine flour. Oh, you would taste the oil. Smell the frankincense. And sprinkle some salt on that too. Right? Enjoy all the aspects of this meal offering, which are seen in the Gospels. Then in message two, we could summarize with the three words, eat the man. We don't just want to see the man. We don't just want to behold the man. We want to eat the man. And I hope and I believe this week you've been eating like maybe never before. I think you've acquired a voracious appetite for this man. Because when you see him, it just causes you to love him. When you see him, it just causes you to want him. We realize we're short, but he's the one who has that perfect humanity. He's the one who satisfies God and man. So when we see him, when we behold him, this will cause us to eat him. And don't forget the way to eat him. Where is Christ, the meal offering? Today, Christ as the meal offering is realized as the Spirit. Yeah, because you say, well, where is Christ? Right? Well, Christ died, he resurrected, he ascended. Yeah, in one hand, he's in the heavens, but he also became the life-giving Spirit. So the reality of Christ today is in the Spirit. Next question, where is the Spirit? Where is the Spirit? Spirit, where are you? In John 6, we see clearly that the Spirit has been embodied in the Word of God. And this is what we saw in message 2. So the Word of God, this wonderful Word of God that we have is the embodiment of the Spirit. The Spirit is in here, right? This Word of God is God breathed. God breathed out these words. Now, what do we need? We need to breathe them in. But how can we touch the Spirit and the Word? If you come to the Word with your mind, if you come with concepts, if you come full, you will not get the Spirit and the Word. You will not get Christ. You will not get the meal offering. So what do we have to do? Every time we come to the Word, we have to exercise our spirit. Exercise our spirit over the Word, right? In Ephesians, we saw that we receive the Spirit, which is the Word of God, by means of all prayer. Praying at every time in spirit. Never forget these verses. Ephesians 6. 17 and 18. This is a secret for us, for our whole life, the way that we can touch the Spirit and the Word, by praying over the Word, exercising our spirit over the Word. I can never forget when I was 14 years old, I had just gotten baptized, and you know what happened the summer that I got baptized? Isn't God sovereign? It was the first year of the Summer School of Truth. I don't want to tell you what year it is, but anyway, 1984. I was 14 years old, and I can never forget that time. Why? I was just newly saved and baptized, and I began to pray read the Word of God with these other young people in Long Beach. And then I remember we went to Irvine one time and blended with the young people in Irvine. And boy, when we began to pray read and touch our spirit, there was just a divine fire. We just caught on fire. We touched the Spirit and the Word. When you touch the Spirit and the Word, you will never be the same. I hope some of you, maybe this weekend would be a turning point in your life. See, I'm a Christian. I'm a church kid. But have you really touched the Spirit and the Word? Have you touched the Word, the Spirit, the reality, and just been on fire? Just beside yourselves. If you haven't, then you need to be. If you haven't been too much, then you probably haven't been enough. Yeah. You need to really touch that Spirit and the Word till you're just outside of yourself. You don't care who's around. You don't care for your face. You don't care what you look like. You don't care for your voice. Oh, you just care for the Spirit. This is what we need. This is the way to eat the Word of God. Now, eating the Word is not just that way. It's not just corporate prayer reading. It's not just loud. Even by yourself, morning by morning, isn't it precious to have a time with the Lord? I believe day by day, as you've been having times with the Lord is just becoming sweeter and sweeter to you. So as you spend time with the Lord, spend time with the Word, right? Just open the Word. Talk to the Lord. Read the Word. Read the Word. Talk to the Lord. Just mingle it all together. There's really not a wrong way to do it. Yeah. The main thing is you just are open to the Lord. You just speak to Him. You just pray over the Word. You may be reading the Word and you're reading a verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Lord just speaks to you. Oh, you know what? When you left, you didn't make your bed. You're reading about in the beginning was the Word. But Jesus speaks a rhema word to you. He just speaks a fresh. It wasn't even related to that, right? But you were, just because you're open, you're touching Him, He has a way to shine the light, right? The divine light comes. Lord, I'm talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He says, what about the way you left your bed? Oh, Lord, forgive me. So what do? You get depressed and you're out of it the whole day? No. You say, Lord, forgive me for not making my bed. Lord, you know what this shows me? I need more of your humanity. Yeah. You see that? Every situation just causes you to come to the Lord more. In our natural life, when we hear something, we get corrected, we get adjusted, we just get depressed, we just get discouraged, we get down. How long does it take us to come back, to rebound? But that's not the Lord's way. The Lord's way is you get enlightened, you confess, and you go on. How long does it take? Maybe in the meeting tonight, the Lord will touch you, will shine on you. Oh, the way you know what? When you went to throw away your trash tonight after dinner, you just dropped the cup next to the trash can. Yeah, the Lord just shines on you right now. What do? You don't have to wait till after the meeting. You don't have to wait for a few days to be depressed. You say, Lord, forgive me for dropping the cup by the trash can. Lord, I want to enjoy you right now.
Amen.
Right away, right? Isn't the cleansing of the blood instant?
Amen.
Instant, right? Constant. The cleansing. The light comes, we confess, and we're forgiven. And we go on, right? The enemy's strategy is to keep you away from eating this man. That's his biggest strategy. What did he do in the garden? God created man, Genesis 1. Tree of life, Genesis 2. Satan comes in, Genesis 3. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. All Satan wants to do to you young people, and to me too, don't eat that tree. Don't eat that man. Whatever he can do, if he can make you feel good about yourself so you don't eat, if he can make you feel terrible about yourself so you don't eat, his strategy is just to keep you from not eating. But if you see this, you can turn every situation, every mistake, every failure you turn it for an opportunity to eat more. Then you destroy the devil. The devil will have no way with you. He says, what? I tried to get him discouraged. I tried to give him thoughts about their past. I tried to take him to the accuser of the brethren, right? Doesn't he do that? He wants to remind you about your past failures. But you know what? They just confessed and they just kept eating. Drat. Satan has no way with you. If you keep eating, he has no way to keep you from going on with the Lord. The strategy is to stop you from eating. Don't let anything stop you from eating the Lord. You say, oh, I ate yesterday. Oh, the college training, it was so rich. I ate the whole week. So I go back on Monday. You know what? Maybe I don't need to eat today. That's Satan's strategy. I hope all of you will make a strong determination. Monday morning, I'm going to eat the Lord. Amen. Just continue, right? Continue. Don't stop from now until you meet the Lord. Amen. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to eat you until you come back. Amen. I'm going to eat you back. Amen. Why not? Dear young people, this is the secret. This is the secret of the Christian life. You just look and see those saints, those brothers and sisters who are going on with the Lord, who are strong in the Lord, and you just check with their daily life. You know what their secret is? They just eat the Lord. They just eat the Lord. Whether things are good or bad, it's a bright day, it's a rainy day, right? They're happy, they're sad. Whatever comes, they just continue to eat the Lord. If you would be like this, your Christian life would be more stable. You know, a lot of times our Christian life, I think some of the saints mentioned this, a lot of times our Christian life is kind of like up and down, huh? We come to the college training, woo! And then after the college training, woo! And then welcome week, woo! And college conference, woo! Yeah. Didn't pass one of my classes. Yeah. Oh, and then winter training. Amen. Wow. So there's peaks and valleys, right? Is this a picture? Me too. I remember coming up to the young people's conferences. You know, the college conferences, the college trainings, for many years, and I always dreaded that last day, going back home. Matter of fact, when you go home from Southern California, you're up here in the mountains in the clear air. As you go down, there's like this pea soup called smog. Yeah. And you're like, that's where I live? Yeah, that's where I live. Riverside, yeah. Smog capital of the world. Maybe not the world, yeah. Just this area. We go up and down, up and down. But you know what? A brother shared with me a secret. He said, that was my Christian life before. He says, but now, you know what? My Christian life is different. He said, now, it's not that I don't go up and down, but you know what my life is like? It's like this. I go up, coming down a little bit, up, down a little bit, up, down a little bit. I have to step up here. So look at this. If you're a person who eats the Lord every day, that is, if you're a person who takes in the Word of God, your life will become more stable. Your Christian life will be more stable. So look at this. He said this. The brother helped me very much. He said, even my low points, check out this low point over here. Even this low point is higher than the high point before. Isn't that something? Yeah. Your life is on the way up. Yeah. It's headed for rapture. Right? We're going up, right? We're always going up. We're always going on with the Lord. It's not a repetition again and again of ups and downs. But there's a consistency a stability, a going on, a progress, right? Your progress is being made known by taking in the Word of God. So I hope this would be helpful to you. I hope all of us, we could just make this determination. Lord, by your grace, every day I need to eat you. Lord, every day I need to be in the Word, right? Just take in that Word. Take in that Word. Let it wash you. Let it strengthen you. Let it feed you. Let it constitute you. Everything positive is in the Word. Everything is in the Word. The Word has so many positive functions. All we need to do is just to take it in. So this we could summarize in message 2. Eat the man. Now, in message 4, what would be the phrase I was considering? Message 4. You know what message 4 is? Become the man.
Amen.
Whoa. Become the man. We behold the man. We eat the man. And as we eat the man, what will happen? We will become the man. So the meal offering is not just Christ himself. But in this message 4, how about let's read the title underneath the humanity of Jesus. Let's read that title. The humanity of Jesus for the Christian life and the church life. So what this means is that as Christians, we should become the meal offering because we should be the same as Christ. His life should be reproduced in us. We should be his duplication. Wasn't he the grain of wheat? When he fell into the ground and died, what came forth? Dandelions? Weeds? When the grain of wheat fell into the ground and died, many grains came forth. That's us. That's us. We're the many grains, just like the first grain. Remember in Romans 8, what does it tell us? It tells us that he is the firstborn among many brothers. He wants us to be the same as he is. I know it's hard to believe. We read all the verses about this wonderful God-man, and every time we're just like, oh, Lord, oh, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. But this is our destiny. He wants us to be the same as he is. Our Christian life should be a meal offering. And even more than that, our church life should be a meal offering church life. Are you in a meal offering church life? We'll see. We'll look at the outline. We'll see what this means. So this is the phrase I'd like you to remember tonight. Become the man. Or again, you could say, become the meal offering. The Lord wants us to become the meal offering. So that not only Christ would satisfy God, but the Christ who has been constituted into us, who has been eaten by us day by day, that Christ within us would satisfy God. That Christ within us would satisfy man. This is what man needs today. Last night we shared a little bit about Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, right? And I think we were touched by the Lord's word there of coming to the ones that are wounded and stripped, right? And ministering the oil and wine. This is what all our friends need. This is what all of our relatives need, right? They need the humanity of Jesus. But where is it? Where are they going to go? Online? Is it sold online, the humanity of Jesus? Can I buy some? Can I get some? The humanity of Jesus is in all of those who have eaten the humanity of Jesus. That's where it is. That's where it's deposited. Your being becomes a meal offering. So when you go to your friends, when you go to your relatives, even after this training, I know it always happens, doesn't it? You're leaving the training. Hey, man, where you been all week? I didn't see you around. What's going on? Where are you? Yeah, how will you respond, right, to that text, to that email that your friends send you, right? That's your opportunity just to speak something of the meal offering, right? Just to feed them. Feed them a little bit. Don't give them the water hose, right? The fire hose. Yeah, I'm not. There was a certain phrase, phrase we used, right? The Gen Rev. Yeah, Genesis to Revelation. Gen Rev. Yeah. If you Gen Rev them, yeah, they may not come back. Yeah. They may not survive that. But you just meal offering them. You just give them a little meal. Just give them a little wafer. A little wafer anointed with oil. Yeah, just put a little wafer on their tongue.
Oh.
Yeah, little wafer with oil. They taste that. What was that? David, wow, that was really good. That doesn't taste like religion to me. Wow, what is that, David? It's Jesus. That's right. This is what they need. This is what they need. So this is what we need to become. This is what we need to become. Now, I just wanted to share with you one other verse regarding the humanity of Jesus. Last night I shared with you a few verses at the beginning, and I just wanted to give you one more. I just feel this is such a crucial verse for us to see. If you could open your Bibles to John 1:51. If you have your Bibles or some way to look at a Bible. John 1:51. Let's read this verse together and see how crucial is the humanity of Jesus. Okay, ready? Let's go. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So what happened here? The Lord Jesus, he was speaking with Nathanael, right, and Philip. And in verse 49, Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What do you think's better, to be the Son of God or to be the Son of Man? Wow. Amen. Think about that. Then in 50, Jesus answered, said to him, "Is it because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree that you believe? You shall see greater things than these." That was just an appetizer. There's much more for me to show you. And he said, "You shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Son of Man. And for those of you who are in Genesis training, we just enjoyed last week, we saw that this verse is the fulfillment of Jacob's dream. In Genesis 28, Jacob had a dream, and what did he see? He saw a ladder, angels of God ascending and descending on it. The ladder was on the earth and reaching to the heavens. That was the dream. The center of that dream is the ladder. And who is that ladder? It's Christ. But what Christ? The Son of Man. Isn't it something? It's the Son of Man. It's Jesus in his humanity. It's the humanity that's the ladder. The humanity of Jesus brings God to man, brings the heavens to the earth, and joins the earth to the heavens. It's in the humanity of Jesus that this happens. Without the humanity of Jesus, there's no ladder. There's no connection. There's no way for God to come to man and man to come to God. How about us? I just like to apply it in this way. How about us? Are we a ladder to people? Our humanity needs to become a ladder, needs to become a way that others, that other human beings could come to God and God could come to them. Is our humanity a fence, a wall, or is our humanity a ladder? The humanity of Jesus is a ladder humanity. It's a humanity that joins heaven to earth, that brings earth to heaven. This is the kind of humanity of Jesus. This is the humanity that we need. Isn't that precious? It says the Son of Man. It says the Son of Man. Of course, we know this vision that Jacob saw, this dream that he saw, right? He called this place Bethel, Bethel, the house of God, meaning where the heavenly ladder is, right? There God comes to the earth. Man can go to God, be mingled together, right? In Jacob's dream, after he saw the dream, what did he do? He took that stone, put a pillar, poured oil. This was God's dwelling place. So we can say this, the humanity of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus is the base of God's building. The base of God's building. You know, as the Son of God, as the Son of God, Jesus brings life to man. Yeah. Actually, the end of the Gospel of John, have you read that verse? It says, these words have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, Amen. You may have life. Amen. So the Son of God brings us life. But the Son of Man brings us building. Isn't this wonderful? And this is the Gospel of John. It's a gospel of life and building. Amen. Life and building. You want life? You need the Son of God. But you want to be in God's building? You want God to have His building with you? You need the humanity of Jesus. You need the precious Son of Man. Son of Man. So I hope this would be helpful to you. Now, let's turn again to two more sets of verses, and then we'll come to the outline. Can we look at Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20 and 21. Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. Okay, if you have that, let's read that together. Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. But you did not so learn Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, as the reality is in Jesus. Wow, I want to eat that one, huh? So good. What have we been doing this week? We've been learning Christ. Maybe some of you saints, you take, I heard one of the sisters said she was learning Spanish. Maybe some of our dear brothers and sisters from Canada, you've learned French. Anybody learn French? Oh, by the way, little alert, the new CD came out. NYPCD in French. So you got to learn French. Yeah. You might learn some languages. You might go to school, you're learning math, you're learning English, you're learning science, you're learning so many things. This week is for us to learn Christ. Amen. That's what we're doing here. Actually, you can tell your friends, what did you do that week? I just went to learn Christ. Amen. You guys were in summer school, I was learning Christ. Amen. This is what we're doing. Yeah, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 4:20. He gives a background. He says that we should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Before we were saved, we were walking in the vanity of our mind and all these negative things. We won't go over them. He says, but you did not so learn Christ. What does this mean? This means that Christ's life, what we've been fellowshipping about, is a model, is a pattern. We need to learn Christ. We need to learn to follow the model of Christ's life that He has set up. But we don't follow that model by imitation. We follow it by eating Him, right? We follow Him by swallowing Him. Yeah. Follow by swallowing. This is the way to follow, right? And this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, you did not so learn Christ. Learn Christ. If indeed you have heard Him. Have you heard Him this week?
Amen.
Have you been taught in Him?
Amen.
As the reality is in Jesus. When we walked according to the world in the vanity of our mind, just emptiness, just vanity. But when we begin to walk in this way, following Jesus, learning Christ, you know what we walk according to? The reality the reality which is in Jesus. And in the note here, it's so wonderful. It says the reality in Jesus refers to the actual condition of the life of Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels. You know what kind of life Jesus lived? He lived a life in which he did everything in God. Amen. If you want, you could say amen there.
Amen.
He lived a life in which he did everything in God.
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
And for God.
Amen.
God was his living.
Amen.
And he was one with God.
Amen.
This is the reality in Jesus. The reality. That living that we've seen is the reality. Don't walk according to the vanity. Outside, you go back home, you go back to school, all that's out there is the vanity of the mind. But what we're talking about is the reality that's in Jesus. This is the reality. And then, let me bring you to the last set of verses. Ephesians 4, I think you probably know these. Maybe we could just speak it together. Ephesians 4, 24. How about all those who know it, say it. God is, John 4:24. Thank you. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. So look at these two verses together. In Ephesians 4, the reality is in Jesus. The reality is in him. He lived a life full of reality. A life in God, with God, for God. This is reality. This is what a life of reality looks like. Now, in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him. Do you like to worship him?
Amen.
God loves when you worship him. But in order to worship him, you need to take care of two things. One is, where are you going to worship him? Should you worship him in the meeting hall? On this mountain? Where do you worship him? In spirit, that's right. This is the place. In the Old Testament, it was Jerusalem. Today, the place of worship is in spirit.
Amen.
And in addition to being in spirit, with what do you worship God? It says in truthfulness. What this means that we need Christ as our offerings. Christ as our offerings. When you come to God, maybe you only paid attention to the first part of the verse. God is spirit. Amen. Worship him in spirit. Amen. The two spirits. But you left out the last part. And truthfulness. Truthfulness means that we need to have Christ as our reality. The reality is in Jesus. But now that reality needs to become in us. We need to have the reality. So you know what? When we come to worship God, and when should we worship? Anytime we come together. Worship is not just Lord's Day. When you have that small group meeting, when you have that little appointment on campus, that's a time to worship God. But how would you worship God? Young people, I'm very concerned that when you worship God, maybe you worship God in spirit, but I don't know if you worship God with Christ as your reality. How much of Christ have you enjoyed in your daily life? Because this is how much reality we can worship God with. You see? You say, oh yeah, Christ, he's the meal offering. But this Christ, the Christ that we offer to God, has to be not the Christ that we know about. Not the Christ that, oh yeah, I know the verse for that Christ. Oh yeah, Christ is fine. Christ is tender. Christ is balanced. But it's the Christ that you've eaten. The Christ that you've experienced. He's the Christ that you offer to God. Let me ask you a question. How's your experience at the Lord's table meeting? Week by week, there's a meeting. Maybe you all don't go there, I don't know. But if you do go on Lord's Day, we in many of the churches, we have what we call the Lord's Table meeting. And you know what happens at this meeting? At this meeting, this is the top meeting of the week. for us to worship God. And I love this verse, and I think of it often as I drive to the meeting on Lord's Day. You know what it says in 23? An hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness. For the Father also seeks such to worship Him. Every Lord's Day morning, you know what's happening? God the Father is seeking. He's looking over the earth. He's seeking. Where is the true worship? In the Middle East, there's people who say they're worshiping God, but it's not in spirit and has no Christ. In the United States, there's people that say they're worshiping God. All over the earth, people say they're worshiping God. But how many are in spirit? Thank the Lord. We know our human spirit.
Amen.
We come to the meeting. Do you exercise your spirit?
Amen.
Right? If you don't, you're not really worshiping God. We have to exercise our spirit to worship God. But I'd like to take you to the next level. The next level is you have to have some offering. You have to have some Christ that you've experienced during the week. And then when you come to that meeting, that Christ is just within you. And a hymn is sung. And after that hymn is sung, you just release that Christ. You just offer that Christ to God. Oh, and the saints are fed by your prayer. And God, He found what He was seeking. He found a true worshiper, someone who really experienced Christ that week. They're not just reading a line of a hymn, although that's good. If that's all you have, exercise your spirit, read a line from a hymn. But what the Father really seeks is those who would offer this Christ, the Son, His beloved, the one that they've enjoyed.
Amen.
Day by day as they've been enjoying the Word of God. They've been enjoying that Christ, and they just offer their enjoyment to God. This is so precious to Him. So these two sets of verses, I believe, will help us with these two sections tonight. The first is our individual experience of Christ, that we, each one of us, would be a meal offering. We would follow Christ's pattern. We would become the same as He is, right? And we'll talk about how we can do that. The second is that the church life, right? The church life where we are, the church life where we are, would be a meal offering church life. That in our church, on Lord's Day morning, and even every meeting, there would be much offering of Christ to God. That we would feed on Christ together. And you know what? Even when you become a meal offering, you know what happens? We feed on each other. So I have a question for you. Are you edible? Thomas, are you edible? Yeah, you need to become a meal offering, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, so we can eat you. When we come to the meeting, Thomas speaks something, and we all eat.
Amen.
Oh, that was so tasty, brother.
Amen.
Maybe tonight. I know you came up last night, right? Yeah, I saw your shoes. I didn't see your face, but I saw your shoes. It was wonderful, brother.
Amen.
When you enjoy Christ, you can feed others.
Amen.
We eat you. Yeah, you eat Christ, and then we eat each other. And then the meal offering church life, you know what this is? This means that the church life becomes our food.
Yeah.
Are you in a church life that has become your food? Or do you just come, you know what, maybe, depends, yeah, how late I study. I mean, I call it study, but, you know, I play some games and then I'll, you know, look at the books. Depends how late I study Saturday night, you know, if I can make it, Lord's Day morning. I know it's at 10, but, you know, it's kind of still a little early for me, even though I have 8 o'clock classes during the week. But for some reason on the weekend, 10 just seems really early. Have you rationalized things this way? Yeah. But not just Lord's Day morning, but You have a church life. Not a church meeting, but a church life. You're living with brothers. You're living with sisters. You're living in the homes of the saints. You're living with the young people. You're caring for others. And you're just in a meal offering church life. You guys are just, you're just eating one another. Day by day, you're feeding one another. You're feeding on Christ. You're feeding on one another. And that church life is just a meal offering church life. When new ones come into your group meeting, they're just fed. We've never seen a group of people like this. They're just full of love, full of oneness. Their humanity is just fine. It's full of the Spirit. It's fragrant. And there's nothing natural. The salt is there. This is the church life that God desires. This is the church life that will not only satisfy God, but it'll satisfy you. Are you satisfied with your church life? Is your church life a meal offering church life? This is what the Lord needs today. In every city where there's a locality, the church would just be a meal offering. A meal offering to feed God or man. Okay, now, let's come to Roman numeral 1. How about let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The flower meal offering signifies the individual Christ. It also signifies the individual Christian. So when we read Leviticus 2:1, it says, when anyone presents an offering of a meal offering to Jehovah, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. So that meal offering there in 2:1 is one where there's fine flour, you pour the oil, and you put frankincense. Later on in the chapter, if you read, it says with all the meal offerings, you should sprinkle salt as well. So it should be seasoned with salt. So don't worry. Yeah, the salt's in there. Yeah, it's not in this verse, but it's later on in chapter 2 of Leviticus. This signifies first Christ, the individual Christ. And that's what we've been seeing in these messages. Tonight, we want to see that this also signifies the individual Christian, the individual Christian. So let's read letter A together. As the members of Christ, we should be his duplication and live the same kind of life he lived. This is a life of humanity, oiled with the Holy Spirit, receiving Christ's cross as the killing salt and living in resurrection, to have the frankincense for God's satisfaction. So we should be his duplication, right? We should be. He's set the pattern. We need to learn Christ. We need to follow him. And how do we do this? Really, I can only give you one verse here. John 6:57. How did the Lord have such a living? Such a living. It says in this verse, I live because of the Father. The Lord had such a God-man living because of the Father, meaning he ate the Father. He ate the Father continually. All the Gospels tell us he could do nothing except what he saw the Father doing. He spoke the Father's word. He sought the Father's glory. He did the Father's will. Everything he did was one with the Father. He just ate the Father continually. He was eating the Father. So what did he do? He lived the Father. What should we do? How can I have this living? How can I be a meal offering? Lord, I'm so defective. I'm so short. He who eats me. He who eats me. He also shall live because of me. That's it. That's it. I don't have any great revelation tonight. We just have to eat him. If you eat him day by day, and even as our brother Craig shared, multiple times a day, right? Continue to eat. Don't let anything stop your eating. You feel, it's the middle of the day. You had your morning revival. Middle of the day, like, oh, I've got a couple hour break. Let me go to the computer lab. And feeling a little hungry. I had lunch, but, you know, I'm feeling, like, hungry in my soul. And so I'm going, oh, maybe, is there any new anime. Oh. Did I say it right? Yeah, I don't really know what it is, but I've heard some of the college students talk about it, right? Certain type of movie, right? Anime. Yeah. So you just feel a little hungry. Oh yeah, want to get the next episode. What should you do at that moment? Just eat him. Amen. Yeah. Don't beat yourself. Man, I went to the college training for a week and I still want to go and watch anime. Don't beat yourself, right? Just say, Lord, I want to watch anime. Oh, Lord, but I want to eat you too. Lord, it's a tough choice, Lord. Lord, how about maybe I'll just eat one verse and then see if I still want to, if I'm still hungry for the anime. Just talk to the Lord. He knows. Yeah, he knows you. He knows you better than you do. He knows all of us, he knows all of our weaknesses, right? He knows all of our situation. You just talk to him, Lord. It's hard, you know. I am by myself. I don't have all the brothers around me. You know, I'm not with Balanced. Not with my Balanced. Was Balanced one of the teams?
Yeah.
Balanced, yeah. So I'm not Balanced, Lord. I'm not with Balanced. And I feel imbalanced. I'm here by myself. But you just talk to him. You just pray, read a verse, and see how the Lord will supply you to live him. To choose him. You know what it says about the Lord? In Isaiah. Isaiah tells us about the Lord. It says that he ate what? Butter and honey. Butter and honey. So that he would know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. This is the Lord's human life. Yeah. He ate butter and honey. Butter and honey signify what? The richest grace and the sweetest love. Butter is the richest grace, and honey is the sweetest love. The Lord is a man. He ate butter and honey. He ate the Father. He enjoyed God. And that's how he could refuse the evil and choose the good. Right? It all comes down to our daily life. In the meetings, in the training, in the conferences, when we're in our group meeting, when we're in Lord's Day, oh, we can eat the Lord. It's so easy to eat. But I'm burdened for you. I'm burdened for me. That in our daily life, we would eat the Lord. Why? So that in our daily life, we would become a meal offering. We would become a meal offering. So we bump into the brothers, and there's something of a meal off. There's some food. We just feed one another. Yeah. It's not a performance. It's not like, oh, there's a brother. Oh, let me get out the morning revival. Let me see. Oh, good, I got a verse. Hey, brother. I was just enjoying this verse. Right? That's kind of a performance. That didn't come from constitution. That didn't come from a life of eating. That was a little microwave popcorn, right? Hey, brother! We feed the brother some microwave popcorn. Yeah. You know, you can do that once in a while, but you can't live on microwave popcorn. Yeah, alone. Yeah. So in our daily life, we need this. We need to be the Lord's duplication, to live the same kind of life he lived. In Romans 8, so we just want to look at a few verses. If you could turn to Romans 8, let's just show you in Romans 8 that we see the meal offering here. If you look at Romans 8, in B it says, there are Christ's humanity. So in verse 3, if you turn to verse 3 real quick, let's just show you there. That which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is the humanity we need. It's Christ's humanity. Christ's humanity was in the likeness of the flesh. He didn't have the sin of the flesh. He didn't have the sin of the flesh, but he had the likeness of the flesh, just like the brass serpent. It looked like a serpent, but it didn't have the poison of the serpent. This is Christ's humanity. He looked just like the flesh of sin, but he did not have the sin of the flesh. Then in verse 2, I think some of the brothers recited this verse for us. Very good. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. There's the Spirit, right? The law of the Spirit of life. There's the oil, right? So in Romans 8, there's Christ's humanity in verse 3. There's the oil, the Spirit in verse 2. The cross. Where do we see the cross? I thought Romans 8 was just on enjoying the Spirit and life spreading through my whole being. But look at this. In verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. Isn't that good? By the Spirit, put to death the practices of the body. We'll say more about this. So there you have death. There you have the salt, right? The cross is in verse 13. And then finally, resurrection is in verse 11. This was the tricky one on the test, huh? The one. Amen. Good job, sisters. And if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So here's the resurrection, right? Resurrection. This is the frankincense. So we see resurrection in verse 11. The Spirit of the one who raised Jesus, he who raised Christ, right? He who raised Christ will also give life to your mortal body. So there's resurrection. So the meal offering is in Romans 8. Romans 8 shows us the meal offering. Now, in these next few points, we'll just see these again. Christ is a man, and we are also human. Isn't that good? Christ is a man, and we are also human. We've seen his human life so balanced, so fine, so tender. You know, it's interesting that there's not much in the Bible concerning the Lord's human life, right? We know when he was born in the manger. Then, a little short period of time later, he was in the house when the Magi came. Then we see him at 12. We just get a little glimpse, 12 years old. And then, boom, he's coming to be baptized, 30. All those years. Sometimes I'm just like, Lord, what did you do? Lord, give me another snapshot. Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah, I don't want to make it up. You know, what did he do? But what we do know his father was a carpenter. A carpenter. I don't think a carpenter is a very easy job, right? To cut things, to build things. A lot of fineness, a lot of detail. But this is the kind of living he had. Later on, we see in the Gospels, you remember that portion where his mother and his brothers came to him, right? He said, "Oh, he's too busy. Why don't you know?" He said, "Your mother and your brothers are here." So we know by that what happened. He had no father. His mother and his brothers were. Where's Joseph? Joseph must have passed away. So he lost his dad. Then, just think about this. He was the oldest. Wasn't he the first son? Yeah. So he's the oldest one. Boy, that's tough, huh? Lost his dad. He's the next in line to take care of his family. But the father says, now's the time to begin your ministry. So he has to go, right? He has to leave his brothers, right? Later on, in Acts, we know Mary was there praying, right? With the 120, his brothers and sisters, I think it says. Yeah, so we know that he had brothers and sisters. But what kind of life? What kind of life he had? His human living. He lived as a man, right? Just day by day. We don't even know what it wasn't outstanding. It wasn't newsworthy, right? Just a normal human life. Normal human life. In Philippians, it says that he was found in fashion as a man. Found in fashion. When people saw him, they just saw a man. Yeah, they just saw a normal man. said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? He just looked like an ordinary man. Nothing special, right? He just lived a normal human life. And that's what we should be today, right? Even after you hear such a word, you've been at such a training. Monday, what will you go back to? Even Lord's Day. You just go back to your family life. You just go back to your school life, right? Don't go back to be an angel. Right, sisters? Yeah. Don't try to be an angel. God, now, I heard about the humanity. But that's not humanity. that's an angel life. Angel life. The Lord doesn't want angels. The Lord wants human beings, right? The proper humanity. I would just say this. How should you live your human life? One word I would give you. Work hard. Work hard. Whatever you do, whether you're going to school, whether you have a job, whether you're going to help with the summer school of truth, whether you're going to do nothing for a few more weeks, work hard. Work hard. Yeah. This is the kind of human life we should have. We should always live a life of purpose, right? Productive. Don't just waste your time, right? Don't just waste your time. Find something to do, right? Fill up your time, right? Be productive. This is a proper humanity, right? It's not just, I went to the training for 2 weeks, summer training, college training. Now I can just do nothing, right? Redeem the time. Find someone to help. If you need some suggestions, talk to us after. Talk to your serving ones. Yeah. There's something called Building 7. We'll send you there. We'll give you the gas money. Yeah. We'll send you there. This is the humanity. Work hard. I believe the Lord worked hard, right? All his life. He was working. He had such a humanity. Now, Christ was oiled with the Spirit, and today we are being oiled with the indwelling Spirit.
Yeah.
Every day, get oiled with the Spirit, right? That's by touching the Word. When you touch the Word with your spirit, you get the Spirit in the Word. That's how to get the oil, right? The oil's in your spirit, right? But also the oil is in the Word. So you need to enjoy the Word. Enjoy the Lord in your spirit. This is how to be oiled, right? With the indwelling Spirit. Then Christ was salted, crucified, and we also should put our natural being to death. Our natural being. Galatians 2:20, one of our favorite verses. I am crucified with Christ. No longer I, not the natural man, right, that lives, but Christ lives in me. This is in resurrection, right? So again and again, we put the natural life to death. You say, man, it's really hard to put the natural life to death. So you know what the Lord gives us? He says, how can we remain in Christ's death? It's only by the power of resurrection. It's only by resurrection. Yeah, it's so hard to remain in death that you need the power of resurrection to strengthen you, to enable you to live in death, to remain in Christ's death. And where do you get this power of resurrection? This power of resurrection is in the compound spirit, the all-inclusive spirit. So I give you Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19. It tells us in this verse that whatever situation you're in will turn out to salvation. You know how? One, by the petition of the saints, and also by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you something so wonderful. The Spirit has every ingredient that we've been talking about in it. Yeah, the Spirit is not just one of the ingredients, right? We've been seeing fine flour, oil, frankincense, and salt. Now I'd like to tell you something. That Spirit, the all-inclusive Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus has human living, incarnation, right? Jesus, the one who was crucified, death is in that Spirit. And it's the Spirit of Christ. Christ is the resurrected one. The one who's in resurrection. So what does this mean? This means in the Spirit are all of the ingredients. The fine flour is in the Spirit. Divinity is in the Spirit. Humanity is in the Spirit. Right? Death and resurrection, they're all in the Spirit. So actually, you don't need to pray for one thing or the other. You just need to pray for the Spirit. You just need to touch the Spirit. And the Lord will apply whatever you need at that moment to you. If you're in the Spirit, if you're touching the Spirit, you're in your spirit, the Lord will give you whatever you need. Do you need resurrection? You need that fragrance? He'll give it to you. You need to remain in that death? It's time to do homework, but everybody else is going out to play basketball. But you know you have to study. The assignments due next tomorrow. Your other friends, the other brothers, they don't have that class, right? They're off the hook. But you got to stay. How can you stay at that desk in the death of Christ? How can you be salted? When others are swishing. Not easy. Not easy. You know what I tell my students in school? I tell every semester, I give them a little talk the first day, and I tell them that to go to college, I says, one thing I want you to know, to go to college, to take a class, I says, this is a sacrifice. You need to be willing to sacrifice. Others can do other things. Others are free. Others can do other people, right? They're not in the church. They don't know the Lord. They're so free. They can do so many things. But as one who loves the Lord, who's in the mold of becoming a meal offering, we're not so free. We can't just do what everybody does whenever we want to. We're limited. We have to sacrifice the things that we'd like to do, the things that our soul life would like to do. But if we would take the Lord, if we would touch that bountiful supply. Did you hear that word? It's a bountiful supply. It's bountiful. Everything you need is in that supply of the Spirit. You just touch that and you will have all of these items. Christ lived in resurrection. We also may live in resurrection. Letter C, if we set our mind on the Spirit and put to death the practices of the body, we will live. And this life will be a life in resurrection. As a result, we will be suitable to be a meal offering for God's satisfaction. So this is our need. Set our mind again and again, right? Turn your mind from the flesh to the Spirit. Everyone around you is living in the flesh, setting their mind on the flesh in school. But you're continually exercising to set your mind on the Spirit, right? Turn to the Lord. Turn to His Word, right? Feed on Him again and again. Put to death the practices of the body. How much time, Lord? How much time do I spend online every day? This may just be a practice of the body. It's not, you may not be looking at bad things. You may not be doing bad things. But it's just a practice. It's just a practice. I get home and I go online. That's just my practice. That's my practice. That's my habit. I just do it. But just open to the Lord. Lord, how about this? Lord, I just open to you that he could enlighten us, right, to put to death the practices of the body by the Spirit. Don't try to do it by yourself, right? We know that. I've done that. That doesn't work, right? You try to do it by yourself, then we fail again and again. But it says, you put to death. That means we need to take the initiative. We need to choose. We need to be open to the Lord. We take the initiative, then the Spirit comes in to supply us. You put to death by the Spirit. Isn't that sweet? That's a mingling of God and man. You take the initiative, but the Spirit comes in to supply you. Then you will live a life of the meal offering, right? Death, resurrection, humanity, and divinity. This is the life we will live. Now, this is the life we need to live, each one of us, individually. What kind of living do you have? Just consider your living. Is your living a meal offering living? This is what the Lord needs in all of us, is that our living, my living, would be a meal offering living. By eating Him, by enjoying Him, I would have a meal offering living. Now, it's not just by yourself. Sometimes we hear the word, oh, okay, I'm going to go do it. Praise the Lord. I think I can make it. But this meal offering living should be together. And that's what we see in the second Roman numeral. How about let's read Roman numeral 2. The cake meal offering signifies the corporate Christ, Christ with His body, the church. So in verse 4 of Leviticus 2, it says, and when you present an offering of a meal offering baked in the oven. So this isn't the flour with some oil and frankincense. There's something baked here. It says it shall be of fine flour, unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. So this shows us something different. This is a meal offering that's a cake, a cake. It's something corporate. And we see this because of the verses in 1 Corinthians. The New Testament reveals that the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ, signified by the cake. And I think the sisters also shared this verse with us. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, for even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. That doesn't sound right. So also is the Christ. The Christ. In the New Testament, it's not just an individual Christ, but Christ has become the corporate Christ. The corporate Christ. Christ with His body. It says, what? All the members being many are one body, so also is the Christ. So the one body is the Christ. The one body is the Christ. The corporate Christ. Christ is the head, and Christ is the body. Christ is, He's everything. He's the all-inclusive Christ. So this is the corporate meal offering. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, seeing that there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So here we see what? One bread. This corresponds to the one cake, right? The unleavened cakes that are seen in Leviticus 2. So the one bread is the one cake. And what is this? This is the corporate Christ. This is Christ and the church. This is us, corporately, living a meal offering life. So how can we live this life? In 1 Corinthians, the New Testament reveals that the individual Christ has become the corporate Christ signified by the cake. Christ is the head, and He has His body with its members. Therefore, with the meal offering in the form of a cake, we have the church life. The church life. So this is a corporate living. I'd like to impress you with this word. A corporate living. The church life. Not only each one of us individually, we need to eat the Lord. I need to eat the Lord. You need to have a time with the Lord. Right? We need an individual time with the Lord. Then, day by day, I'm not always with the brothers, right? You're not always with the sisters. You have an individual walk, an individual living. But that living would be, again and again, eating the Lord, right? In the Spirit, receiving the bountiful supply of the Spirit. This is your individual life. But we also need a corporate life, a corporate life. How is your corporate life? How corporate are you? How corporate are you? I think it's been so marvelous to see in this week all the small groups. Isn't it good? The twos and threes, the ones you're living with, some in your small groups, just hearing you praying, reciting the word, fellowshipping. This is the corporate life. This is the corporate life that we all need. Yeah. If we just take the first part of this outline, say, amen, I'm going to live the meal offering Christian life. Dun-da-dun. Yeah. We'll put the timer on and see how long that lasts. Yeah. Not very long. The only way you can sustain your Christian life is by the church life. Yeah. The church life is God's desire for all believers. He never designed it that you would be alone, that you would be by yourself, that you would be the Lone Ranger at UCSD. Yeah, just doing everything by yourself. No, He wants you to have a corporate living, a corporate living. And we see this in 1 Corinthians. And I'll just go through these quickly because these are some of the same points we've seen. The book of 1 Corinthians shows us a particular kind of church life, the meal offering church life. So we just want to see these same points that we've seen in previous outlines in Corinthians. The meal offering church life. The first item is fine uplifted humanity, signified by fine flour. In 16:13, it says to be a man. You know what it says? Be a full-grown man. Be strong. Amen. Yeah, that's the end of the book of Corinthians. Be a man. This means that we should have a high, uplifted humanity. How can you do this? You need to be with the brothers and sisters. We need a meal offering church life. Church life. If we would have the proper church life, we all need to have a strong character. Strong character. B, if we have such a humanity, we will exercise self-control. You look at those verses in chapter 9, and you see that Paul, he says that he had self-control. He says, I exercise myself. I don't run uncertainly. He says, but I buffet my body and lead it as a slave. Does your body lead you, or do you lead your body? The fine humanity of Jesus controls their body. This is what I'm doing. I'm making it to the meeting. Here we go. Brother Lee used to have this phrase, my old donkey. Remember, right? Didn't he say that? My old donkey. Yeah, just get that old donkey. Just get that old donkey to the meeting. Present your body. Does your body rule you, or do you rule your body? Get yourself to the meeting. The Spirit will be there. The oil will be there. The supply will be there, right? Just get with the saints. You feel out of it. You feel down. You had a failure. Get with the saints. You will be supplied. You will eat Him again. You will be brought back to eating the Lord. Christ, the man given to us by God, is God's gift to us. God has called us into the enjoyment of this gift. In verse 2, it says, Christ is theirs and ours. He's our portion. Christ is the one given to us by God. And we know verse 9, God is faithful, who's called us into the fellowship of His Son. So He's called us to enjoy this humanity, but not just by ourselves, but with one another. Isn't this fellowship interwoven? Didn't we hear that a few days ago? It's an interwoven fellowship. You enjoy the fellowship of the Son, but you enjoy the fellowship with the members. And when you're not enjoying the fellowship with the Son, you just come to be with the members. And they bring you into the fellowship with the Son. Right? It's the vertical fellowship and the horizontal fellowship. This is the church life. This is the church life. If you run away from the church life, from the fellowship, you will miss the fellowship with the Son. You will miss the enjoyment of Christ. Right? It's with the brothers and sisters. The church life is a life of humanity oiled by the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's speech and preaching were in demonstration of the Spirit. He demonstrated the Spirit. Whenever Paul spoke, the Spirit came out, right? He was just filled with the Spirit. He didn't trust in worldly wisdom. He didn't trust in eloquent speech. He trusted in the demonstration of the Spirit. Let me show you the Spirit. Every time Paul spoke, he had a demo. Yeah. Sometimes when I teach chemistry classes, I get out a little demo. Yeah. Mix some acid and some base. Yeah. All the students like that. Paul only had one demo. He did every time. His spirit.
Amen.
He exercised his spirit.
Amen.
That was his demo. Wow, this is the demo we should have. The spirit has been given to us, and now he dwells in us. 3:6 says, the spirit of God dwells in you. The spirit of God is in you. You don't have to ask for the spirit. You don't have to fast and pray for the spirit. He's in you already.
Amen.
Verse in letter C, we are one spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
If you're one spirit with the Lord, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He who is joined to the Lord is?
One spirit.
If we were not one with the spirit, we could not have the church life. We are one with the Holy Spirit, and we need to remain in this oneness. The church life is a matter of being in the Spirit. In the Spirit is the real church life. In 1 Corinthians, there is also the frankincense, that is Christ in resurrection. The grace of God, which we are enjoying today, is Christ in resurrection. The whole chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is on resurrection. This whole chapter is on resurrection. So even in this chapter, when Paul mentions, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God, right? The grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is Christ in resurrection as the life-giving spirit. So this is the resurrection that we need. Our labor is not in vain because we are laboring not in our natural life, but in the resurrection of Christ. He says, not I, but the grace. Is this your experience? Not I, but the grace. To be at the table, to call some of the new students, to visit some of the freshmen. Not I, not the natural life, but the grace, the resurrection life, right? When you feel tired, the first couple weeks of school, right? So many activities, trying to reap the harvest, right? These freshman students, you just say, Lord, grace me. Lord, I ask for waves of grace. Lord, grace upon grace. This is the resurrection life. And remember, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? Your labor in the resurrection life is not in vain. Our labor in the natural life will not have any result. We'll just be burned when the Lord comes. But our labor in resurrection is not in vain. Then, in addition, all these verses, as you see, are in 1 Corinthians. The salt, the fourth element of the meal offering, can also be found in 1 Corinthians. Paul did not preach miracles or wisdom. He preached Christ crucified.
Amen.
In 1, he says, we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
This was what he preached. He preached the cross, the crucified Christ. Do you know what the cross is? The cross is the center of God's salvation. The center of God's salvation is the cross. If you don't take the cross, you don't have salvation. On that cross, every negative thing was dealt with. Every negative thing in you and me was dealt with on that cross. And on that cross, the divine life was released. Blood and water flowed from him on that cross. This is what we preach. This is what we speak. This is what we live. Right? If we would have power in preaching the gospel, we need to live a crucified life.
Amen.
Crucified life. This crucified life is the power to preach the gospel. Then, in addition to the four positive things, remember there's two things that are not in the meal offering. Two things are not in the meal offering: leaven and honey. So in 5, 6b through 8, Paul deals with leaven, the sinful and negative things. In the church life, we're not living in a utopia. Sometimes we come to church like, oh, praise the Lord, it's a meal offering. It's going to be glorious. And then we ourselves, others, there's some leaven, some sin, some failure, some things that are not so good. Say, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong place. No, you're not. What do you need? You need to eat more of Christ. Eat more of Christ. How do we help the saints? we help them to eat more of Christ. Look at this in letter A. Let's read this together. The only way to eliminate sin is to eat Christ crucified, resurrected, and sinless life. When sin comes, I'll give you three phrases. Number one, confess your sins. Any leaven? Remember, it's the leaven that's exposed, the leaven that's seen. Whatever sin is seen, you just confess. Whatever the Lord shines as light, you just confess. Number one, confess your sins. Number two, believe the blood.
Amen.
After you confess, the Lord told us, He forgives us and He cleanses us
Amen.
From all unrighteousness. Believe the blood. Number three, what do? Eat Christ as the unleavened one. That means Christ is the sinless one. Christ's life is a sinless life. Why did I sin? Why did that leaven come in? Because I wasn't eating enough Christ. So I confess, I believe the blood, and I come back to eating. Don't let any sin keep you from eating the Lord. Don't let any sin keep you from eating the Lord. This is my word of love to you. In B, Christ is the unleavened bread. The more we eat Him, the more we shall become unleavened. Unleavened. You eat the unleavened one, you become unleavened. And you know what it says? We need to keep this feast. Keep the feast, it says in 1 Corinthians. The feast of unleavened bread lasted for 7 days. You know what that means? That means our entire Christian life should be a feast of unleavened bread. Our whole life, we just keep eating the unleavened one, and we get reconstituted with the unleavened one. So there's no leaven in the church life. No leaven. No sin, no evil things come into the church life. In six, in Paul's experience, the honey, the natural life, was dealt with. The leaven is more evident. You say, oh, that's leaven. If you hate the brothers, that's leaven. If you love the brothers in your natural life, that's honey. Whoa, really? I thought that was a good thing. Love the brothers. Isn't there a verse that says love the brothers? But honey is the natural life, the natural goodness. Even you could say the natural affection. The natural affection. We have to always be on guard. Always be on guard. There's some, oh, they're just like me. You know what? We both like Thai tea with boba. We just hit it off. The first time we met, we had Thai tea with boba. Oh. And we had the same major. Oh, we're just buddy buddy. We just love each other. What's that? That's a natural love. That's a natural love. If you're not sure if it's a natural love, let me ask you this. Can you pray together? When you get together, do you pray? Do you touch the Spirit? Do you pray for each other? Do you fellowship? Pray for one another? Pray for each other's contacts? The ones you're burdened for? Right? The natural life is just, it just stays natural. It's just, we kind of just feed each other's soul and talk about things we like to talk about and go to places we like to go, and it's just natural. But in the meal offering church life, there's no honey. No honey. Some saints in the past, because they were so close, they were so natural affection. When one left the recovery, the other one left too. Because they were just so close. They were just so tight in a natural way. In a natural way. So we should not have any natural relationships, right? Natural relationships. Our relationships are in the Spirit, right? In resurrection. Yeah, there's always the salt. The salt, when the salt comes, the salt will kill the honey. So if you just keep touching, that's why I said, if you can pray together, if you can touch the Spirit, then the Spirit will shine on you. Oh, that is too much. It's too much. It was too much time together. What about, we need to be with others. We need to be, where's the other brothers and sisters? Yeah. You know what it says in Philippians? We should have the same love. same love for one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we should have the same care for one another. In the body life, in the meal offering church life, there's the same care. Is our care for some? Well, we really care for them. Our care for others? Oh, we don't really care for them. But the Lord says we should have the same care. Same care. That there be no division in the body. It's a difference in care that causes divisions. Causes division. Let's have the same care for one another. So this is the experience. Paul's labor was not by the eye, not by the natural life, not by honey. In the church life, the natural life is not permitted and must be put to death. The honey of the natural life must be killed by the salt, by the cross of Christ. Just touch the Lord. Touch the Spirit. The cross will be there. Then 7, the church life is a corporate meal offering, signified by the one bread in 10:17. This bread or cake signifies the corporate life. The corporate life. When we come to the Lord's table, what do we have there? We have the one bread. The one bread. You know that one bread signifies two things. One, it's the Lord's body. So what do the brothers do? They break the bread. The Lord's body was broken for us, that we may have his life. But that one bread also signifies the one body of Christ.
Amen.
That it signifies the meal offering church life. It's one body. It's one bread. One bread. We're all one. How are we one? Because we all partake of the one bread. It's our partaking of Christ that makes us all one. So if we stop partaking, we're not really in the oneness. Right? The oneness is maintained by our partaking of this bread. So day by day, keep partaking. A, the cake meal offering is a symbol of the church life. The church life. This church life feeds God and feeds man. It feeds God and feeds man. And as I said before, this even becomes our food. If we're in the meal offering church life, we will be fed. Not only by Christ himself, but we'll be fed by one another. Our church life can feed us. Does your church life feed you?
Amen.
Does your church, the church life that you're in, day by day, week by week, is it feeding you?
Amen.
If it is, then you've arrived here. Then you're enjoying the meal offering church life.
Amen.
This is what the Lord wants today. This symbol indicates that eventually Christ's life and our individual Christian life become a totality. And this totality is the church life. This is the church life. So lastly, I just give you these last few lines. We feed on Christ. Don't forget, day by day, we feed on Christ. When we feed on Christ, we become a meal offering. As we become a meal offering and we're together, we're living corporately, corporately, the church life becomes a meal offering. And this meal offering church life feeds God. It feeds us, feeds one another. We're fed by one another. And it feeds mankind. It feeds mankind. At the end of the parable, a story of the Good Samaritan, the Lord came to this one, wounded, stripped, poured in oil and wine, and you know what he did? He put him on his donkey and he carried him to the inn. You know what the inn is? The inn is the meal offering church life. The inn is where God can care for those that are wounded and stripped and beaten. The church life, the meal offering church life. This is the inn that feeds people with the humanity of Jesus. So we were all those. We were those ones by the road. The Lord brought us into the church life. Now, day by day, he wants us to have such a feeding on him. He wants us to eat him again and again. And eventually, we would be constituted with him. We would be filled with him that we could offer this Christ that we've enjoyed to God in our meetings, that God would be satisfied. And we would offer this Christ that we enjoy in our daily life to man, that man would be satisfied. This is what the Lord wants today.